World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, one of those crazy mornings here for me this morning. I know what the Holy Spirit would have me to do. I often say this when I come in here. What is this show about? Is it about current events? Is it about the Bible? What the heck is it about? And the truth is, it's about a little bit of all that. And I want to do a little bit of a teaching today with you, if you can hang in there with me. So buckle up, because I think it's going to be pretty good. Up on our website today, now Coach Dave Live annual huddle is up. And let me run down through. We'd love all of you to come. As many of you as you can want to come. It begins June 21st. That is the first day of summer, so you can file that thing away. Friday night from 4 to 9, Saturday from 8 to 9, Sunday 9:30 to 12. You can yada yada, Sheila Holm, Flip Benham, Tom Renz, maybe some surprises, boat rides, speakers throughout the day, food. All of you, those of you who've been there, you know what it's about. Those of you who haven't been there, let me tell you, it's worth it. Got to get your own lodging. You can camp, all kinds of stuff. The ticket is $59, and that includes your meal on Saturday morning. I think I got that right. I get it right. It includes three meals included in that. And so you can begin to register now. We'd love you to come. Bring somebody with you. June 20, 21, 22, and 23. I'm going to tell you, sitting at the feet of Flip Benham, if you guys have never done that, I promise you this will be one of the highlights of your trip. I just promise you. And if you've ever been in that environment, man, you'll never get it. Not that Tom Renz won't be good. I was on Tom Renz's show yesterday. He had me on his show, and I'll get that posted later. Man, that's a good guy there. That's a hardworking dude. And Tom's going to be with us, and Sheila Holmes going to be with us. Not that Flip's better than Sheila or better than – it isn't even about that. But Flip just has a powerful, prophetic – unction anointing on him. It's pretty incredible to be around. Gary's got his hand up, so it must be important. Go ahead, Gary.
Hey, Coach, just to clarify, three meals, Friday supper. That would be Saturday lunch and Saturday supper.
Thank you, Gary. We don't do breakfast because a lot of people get that in their hotel. So we don't bother to cook breakfast. But meal Friday night and a meal Saturday and Saturday noon and Saturday night. And a lot of good stuff. And thanks, Gary. Thanks for all the hard work that you're doing in regards to that. I'm heading to Texas. You can click on that, Spence, if you could. My buddy George McCloy is going to drive out with me. Yeah, I'm driving out. And yes, I'm going to meet up with Chad. And this is the time to save America is now. Time to save America is now. And my wife said, why are you going all the way out there, honey? It's from 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock begins on Saturday evening. And it's over and late in the evening. And again, my wife said, honey, why are you going out there? Why are you driving all the way out there? Well, the Lord wants me to go out there is one of the reasons. And just because I think it's something I'm supposed to be part of. I'm looking right here trying to share with you guys. I make myself notes all the time, then I forget where I put the note. Try to explain who's going to be there because there's some heavy, real heavy hitters. There they are. I mean, this is some. But I get 15 minutes, right? 15 minutes. So why would you drive all the way out there for 15 minutes? Because the Lord wants me to be there. And I was going to drive alone, and I can't drive alone. My wife is going to divorce me if I try to drive alone. It's about 14 and a half, 15 hours, who knows how long. So I called my old buddy George. George says, heck yeah, I'll ride with you, Coach. So George and I will be going out there Friday, Saturday, back back probably late Sunday night. The time to save America is now, and they're going to premiere a video, a movie about the time to save America. And so, just be in prayer, and that it all goes well. Got a lot going on, man. Just a lot going on. Laura Ann, go ahead. Your hands up there, sweetheart.
Thank you, sir. In the time to save America movie is all about J6, and Chris Burgard and Pastor Dave worked really hard on this movie, and this is Pentecost weekend, and it's just important. And if you can be praying for everybody who's going to be there, because there's been a lot of attacks. Pastor Dave was really sick, and so is Chris Burgard with that bird flu garbage. Yeah. And they're on the back end of it right now. And it's going to be something really amazing. I'm trying to get there because I'm supposed to be serving at it. Coach is going to come back with an amazing testimony of God's goodness.
Amen. We are for sure. I'm going to be there. And thank God that George said he would jump in and share the ride with me. So, Thanks for all that. Here's kind of where I am this morning. And I've been, you guys ever wrestle with the Lord? No, I wrestle with him sometimes. Holy Spirit, I wrestle with it. I say, Lord, I don't want to talk about that. And then he keeps prying me. And here's what the Holy Spirit asked me this morning. He says, Coach Dave, I think he calls me that. You have fire in your bones? I said, what? He said, do you have fire in your bones? And I said, yeah, Lord, I think I do. I think I do. I can't get away from this stuff. I'm 71 years old. I ought to be out playing golf and being on a boat, being with my grandkids. And I'm consumed by the things of the Lord. Look, I'm not bragging. I'm sharing something with you, okay? And the deeper I go, and the more that my eyes are open and I see and understand what's going on, the more people don't know what to do with it. They don't know what to do with it. It's like if we could get Mark Trump in there. Did you guys ever heard Mark Trump come in? And Mark Trump starts taking you down that road of frequencies and all that kind of stuff. And you get about a minute and a half into it and your head's just spinning, right? You say, oh, wow. Huh? Whew, man, there's something there, but boy, I can't keep up with it. I'm not being offensive, Mark, just the truth. That knowledge sometimes can be overwhelming. And I was realizing this morning that I have a prophetic unction on me. Look that up real quick. Spence, because I'm speaking to some of you out there. Randy has a prophetic unction on him, folks. Craig Mickle, you don't think Craig Mickle has a prophetic unction upon him? An unction is the act of anointing. The act of anointing medically anything softening or lent of divine or sanctifying grace. An unction is a force, a power that makes you. Like when you sneeze, do you ever have to sneeze? It comes with an unction, doesn't it? And no matter how much you try to shove that sneeze back inside, that thing's got to get out of you. That's an unction. And some of you have a prophetic unction and don't even realize it. And we spend a lot of time because of the people that sometimes you hang around. People try to suppress that unction. Saying, honey, can't you talk about it? Isn't there anything else you want to talk about other than that? And it's an unction, and you cannot get away from it. Somebody say amen. I know there's at least one of you out there.
Amen.
And that unction, when it comes on you, it drives people away. It drives friends away. But you got this thing, this fire caught up in your bones that you can't get rid of. You can't put, you have to breathe it out. Oh, you got to get it out, and then you can relax. Pull that up again. That's fire in my bones there, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I think it's 9, isn't it? And then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay. I have a really, really hard time doing small talk anymore. Anybody else out there like that? I just can't. I don't want to hear about the Bengals and the Browns and the Reds.
Amen.
Amen.
I just can't do it. For I had heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Reports say they, and we were reported. And all familiars watched from my holding, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him. We shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me. It's a mighty, terrible one. How about that? A mighty, terrible one. Did you ever look at the Lord as a mighty, terrible one? Wow. Therefore, my persecutors stumble. They shall not prevail. Scroll down, please. They shall be greatly ashamed. Who? Who shall be? Your persecutors. For they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. Do you see it, folks? Do you understand that we deal every day here with confusion? Do you understand that? I was riding down the road with my wife yesterday. I love my wife to death. And she said something along the lines of, honey, why is there always so much controversy in the show? She said, especially the after show. I said, there it is. Everlasting confusion. I'm going to connect another dot for you again. All right. Bring up number two. Some of you out there are not, you're not in the kingdom. I said what? Oh yeah. You got a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. You do. I'm sorry. I didn't say that. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and he said to him, hey, preacher, man, you can sure teach. But no man can do these miracles except God be with him. And Jesus looked at that stuffed up, prideful Nicodemus who came to him in the night, didn't want to be seen with him. Said, hey, Nick, except a man be born again, can't even see the kingdom. And Nick said to him, what? How can a man be born again when he's old? You entered the second time in your mother's womb, be born? Jesus said, you dummy. I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. By the way, what's the kingdom of God? I could go there. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Kingdom of God is within. How does the kingdom of God get in you? Kingdom of God gets in you through the born-again experience. Some of you looking at me now are not born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Jesus said, you have a form of godliness. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Because the wind blows wherever it listeth, and you hear the sound of the wind. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's gone. So that's the way it is. Those born of the Spirit. Can anybody say amen? Boy, is that me. I don't know where it's gone. I don't know where it came from, but I know I got to say it. Nicodemus said, dude, how can this be? Jesus looked him right in the eye and said, are you kidding me? You got a master's degree and a PhD in bibliography and you could, hermeneutics and you can do all that stuff and you know all the Ten Commandments inside and outside and upside and the backside and you can do all that stuff. He said, how can you not know this? It's got to be born again. He said, look, dude, we speak what we know. We testify what we've seen. Yeah, you don't get it. You don't want to hear it there. Whoops, sorry. If I told you earthly things and you believe not, how are you going to believe heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven and even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, Jew, Greek, male, female, whatever, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believes on him is not condemned. Are you listening to this? He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not on him is already condemned. Why? Because he didn't believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. This is what kills them, that the light came into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. Because why? Their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, and neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You born again? You born again? Go to number two. Go to number two. What's that? Yeah, number two. Judge not that be not judged. What? Oh, yeah, don't judge anything, coach. Don't you ever judge? No, that's not what it says. It says, for with what judgment judge, you're going to be held that same standard, brother. Be careful. And with what measure you measure, it's going to be measured to you again, dude. You raise up a standard, you're going to live by that standard. You're going to live it. Why do you nose the mote in your brother's eye, but don't consider the beam that's in your own eye? How come you can't see the beam that's in your own eye? Talking to all of us. All of us think we got it right. Well, how will you say to your brother, let me get that thing out of your eye there? And you got this other thing blocking what you can't see clearly either. You got your own way of seeing things and you think you're right, Jesus said. So you hypocrites. Huh? First get that thing out of your eye that's blocking you from seeing the truth. And then you're going to be able to see clearly. And then once you do that, then you'll be able to get that out of your brother's eye. But until you get it right, you ain't got no business being no doctor. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast your pearls before swine. Pretty judgmental, isn't it? If the guy didn't judge, just loved everybody. Why? Because they're just going to trample them under their feet. They're going to turn and bite you. Who? It's fake Christians. Ask and shall be given. Seek and shall find. Knock and shall be opened to you. For everyone who asketh to receive it, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Huh? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Not everyone who enters the kingdom. Scroll on down. I think it's coming up here, isn't it? If you being evil now to give you blah, 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 blah. I lost my spot. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. See if you find it there. I think I got it right. Oh, there it is. Beware of false prophets. Huh? Yeah. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto this life, and everybody finds it. It's universal, this Christianity. This Christian walk into everybody, it's the same for everybody. No. Few find it. Hey, Betty, few find it. Spencer, what's Webster say few is? Not many. Small number. Hey, folks, are you looking at me? You're surrounded by a lot of Christians that don't get it. Because few find it.
Amen.
Your churches are full of people who don't get it. Full of them. Why? Because 15 are false prophets. Which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes, thorns, or figs? Is your church about the pastor or is it about you? Is it about the worship team? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. I'm going somewhere. Hang with me. Look at this. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Let me ask you something. What tree are you attached to? And every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Why? Because broad is the way, there is a gate. Many come, few find it. And you're going to know them by their fruits. And not everyone that says to me, I'm a Christian, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But only he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And many are going to say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these wonderful things? Didn't we have a bread ministry? And didn't we feed the poor? And didn't we go visit the people in the nursing homes? And didn't we go do, oh, did we do all that? Certainly you saw that, huh? Then, hey, Lord, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Do all these great things? And the Lord's going to say, what? Yeah, you, my guy, you did do that. Yeah, you did. It's only one problem. I never knew you. Huh? That's what it says. Then, well, I profess unto them, I never knew you. Hey, friends, it's only one way to heaven. That's through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not following rules, not following regulations. Yes, you should follow rules, and yes, you should follow regulations. But if you think that you're going to be holier than thou and work yourself into heaven, you are so, so mistaken.
Amen.
And what's the church teaching? What is it? What is the church teaching? I was reminded of that when I was at Kilbourne School yesterday. How much those parents had failed. The children knew nothing about eternal life and salvation and the spirit realm and the devil and death on the cross. They knew nothing about it. Can I tell you why? Because the church has become nothing more than just a social center. That'd been a great place for somebody to say amen. It's amen. A place where people just dress up and come and they raise their hands and praise and worship and they listen to the sermon and they say, have a great week, see you next week, and then they leave and there is no Christianity coming out of them the rest of the day. Oh, they have private Christianity. But see, that's what Jesus said here. Oh, your Christianity is private? I'm sorry, I never knew you. Well, I'm sorry. He says, if you deny me before men, you ain't one of mine. Sorry. You deny me before men? You don't speak on my behalf in front of men? Well, I ain't going to be your defense attorney in front of my daddy. Friends, it's pretty serious stuff. And go to 3A. Oh, man, I got more. This is deep, man. This is deep. This is deep. Then came to Jesus the scribes. Do you know who the scribes were, folks? They were the religious folk, scribes and the Pharisees. So they were sent on a journey from the Pharisees, their pastor. The pastor sent them on a elder trip to go out and find out who this Jesus guy was out there and doing all this crazy preaching stuff. They came to Jesus saying, hey, Jesus, why do you transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. You guys don't wash your hands, Jesus. Jesus is a great debater. He wasn't caught shorthanded. He says, well, let me ask you something, dude. Why do you also transgress the commandment of God and follow your crummy traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother. And he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. You say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thy mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the command of God of none effect by your traditions. You hypocrites, he said. People draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but they're making it up. It's phony. Why, in vain they worship me. They teach that in order to be saved, you got to follow the commandments of men. Wash not, eat not, taste not, look not. Trying to make yourself holy enough to get into heaven. There's only one way into heaven, and that is through the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. There is no other way there. And he called the multitude, and he said to them, hear and understand. Listen, folks, he says, it's not the crawfish going in your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth. And then came his disciples and said, knowing that thou, Pharisees, were offended, then came his disciples and said unto him, you know you just ticked those guys off, right? You know you just ticked off those religious leaders. You know you just ticked off the pastor. He said, yeah, I sort of know that, but every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Why? Because they're blind, leading the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they're all going to fall into a ditch. And Jesus, and then Peter answered and said, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding, Pete? You still don't you get, Peter? Don't you understand that whosoever, whatsoever enters your mouth, goes into your belly and you poop it out? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And they defile a man. Is what comes out of your heart, not what goes into your mouth. Because out of your heart proceeds evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witnesses, blasphemies and arguments and do this and don't do that. Don't you get all that? These are the things which defile man. Not to wash his hands. Jesus left him. And boy, did they carry that story back, huh? One more. Go to number three. Second Timothy 3. Know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Can I stop right there? They thought it was a perilous time. They thought it was the last days right then. And what he's showing you is the heart of man apart from Christ. And that this is what it's going to get the closer we get to the end. Because this is the nature of men. For men are lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. I'm going to say this. Does your pastor really love you? Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Do me a favor, get away from them dudes.
Boom.
Because these are the sort, who? The one we just read about. They're the ones who creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Oh yeah, they're going to come in and they're going to preach a message to you that you can have whatever your heart desires. Silly women believe that. Because they're laden with divers lusts. They want all that stuff. They want all that worldly stuff. And that they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Any idea how deep that is? Do you have any idea how many people you come in contact with on a daily basis who claim to be Christ followers and aren't? Does that sound judgmental? I don't mean it to be. As I said, the churches have become social centers. I got to show you this again, okay? Hang on. I'll get you in here in a second, Roger. Pull up number four for me. Pull up number four. This is kind of, I was doing some research yesterday. Why? Because it's fire caught up in my bones. It's the only thing I can tell you. How mega churches spent Corona relief funds. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible to buy human beings? Sure it is. I was talking to Tom Renz yesterday. Are you ready for this? When I get that interview, you got to see it. You know what Tom Renz told me? Because I said, hey, Tom, God, you ought to have $1 million to fight this fight. Why? He said, Coach, I've already been offered millions of dollars. But in order to get the millions of dollars, I have to change my tune a little bit. You following it? If I just make my argument a little bit more pro-Republican, I'll have more money coming in than I could ever spend. Don't think you can't be bought. So I came across this yesterday. This is from 2021, I think it was. Doesn't matter. Palm Valley is one of more than 88,000 religious organizations that receive money from the Small Business Administration, a part of the CARES Act, which President Donald Trump signed in March. The CARES Act gave $521 billion so they could buy the influence of the pastors. Doesn't say that. I'm saying it. Right? Click on those 88,000 religious organizations real quick. Here it is. You can scroll all down. See right there. How much did they give out? I can't even count that. $525,483,817,756 they gave to 4,885,388 churches. Now ask yourself this. Who are those churches serving? Did the government say to the church, hey, we're going to send you $1 million and paycheck protection funds. We're going to send you $1 million. But you got to be on our team. You got to encourage people to take the jab. You got to be on our team. And then when they get to the end of it, what do they do? Why, you didn't even have to pay it back. They just gave it to them. The government bought churches. Click back on that. Go back to the original. Folks, I'm trying to show you the mess that we're in. Now, not one out of five kids in that classroom even goes to church. Providing money to churches was unprecedented and controversial, even among evangelicals. Popular Christian financial advisor Dave Ramsey strongly discouraged it from taking the money. Scroll down a minute. Scroll down. I'm going to show you something here. I'm going somewhere. I see you, Mark. I see you. I'll get you in here. It's a triple don't do for churches, Ramsey said. Chuck Bentley from Crown says it is really manna from heaven. Is it really manna from heaven? He said, what's it going to look like in terms of optics in the long term? Scroll on down. The non-denominational megachurch, which has 5,000 people in two locations on a normal Sunday, received $400,000. The first thing Vaughn did when he got the news was to tell his churches, look at this! Tell his churches 24 full-time and 20 part-time staff members that their jobs were safe. So the church was a jobs program. Huh? Oh, yeah. According to Vaughn's accounting, the church spent 93% of the money on payroll. It's amazing, isn't it? Huh? How much money did they get? $400,000. They spent 90% of it, which 9 times 4 is 36, $360,000 just on payroll. The additional 7% went to rent and utilities. Not to serve the people, not to expand the kingdom. Oh, say, oh yeah, coach, yes, they are. Yes, they are, coach. These are wonderful Christian employees. Oh, yes, coach, they're working hard. No, they're not. No, they're not. No, they're not. Oh, scroll on down. Palm Valley staff called every member of the church to check in every 2 weeks. Got paid to do it, of course. Praying for them, encouraging them, listening to their needs. Church also organized a volunteer force to help several projects, including providing care packages to hospitals and serving. See, all mercy ministry. All mercy ministry. Nobody standing up and pushing back against the forces of darkness. No, just mercy ministry. Oh, give us that money and we'll hire 45 people and oh, we'll just go around and tell everybody how proud they are. Man, oh man. With their full staff, the church could also better engage the national conversations about racism and policing. Oh, my goodness. We're learning how to be a diverse congregation. If we'd been short-staffed once that aspect of things came to the surface, we recognized we need to lean into those things. It would have been really, really hard because we didn't have the money. Now the church has received loans between $1 million and $2 million. And what they do with it? It's paid their staff. Huh? Not everyone says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom. Sorry. Sorry. Come on in, Mark.
Yeah, coach, I was just reminded they just found $400 million or euros worth of gold coin under a church. And in modern day times, didn't they find a bunch of that money in a wall of a church?
Didn't they ever? Hiding it away,
all right,
huh?
So what happens when you get a bunch of money? Isn't there a certain amount of shame that comes with it? And you need to hide it, coach? Why would a church need to hide their offerings? Man. Unless there's something very bad going on with this system that is the traditional church, right?
That's what it is. Hey, Mark, despite 4 months of not meeting in person, let me say it again real slow. Despite 4 months of closing down the church and paying the employees, the Southern Baptist multi-site megachurch with regular weekly attendance of 14,000 people in 9 locations, well, they didn't have to lay off any of their staff. Folks, do you get what they're saying here? No church for 4 months and everybody got paid. Sandals were given away, 13,000 boxes of food, as well as 10,000 medical grade face masks. Oh, great! 400 face shields, 100 pairs of goggles, and 15,000 protective hospital gowns. No gospel, though. No, they can give away any gospel. Wait a minute, the church also has given 170 computer tablets to seniors to help them better communicate with loved ones while isolated by the pandemic. You think this is a parody? You think I'm making this up? Roger. I lost him. Johnny.
Oh, I'm here.
Hi, come on.
Go ahead, Johnny, then Rob.
Yeah,
go ahead, Johnny.
Thank you.
I just want to say real quick how vigilance is so important to us right now. My heart's sinking into my stomach right now listening to this. Look at China. Look at what they've done. They've driven the God-fearing Christians into the ground, and that government has, they're taking a hold of rewriting the Bible through indoctrination of teaching the generations of coming up to believe something that not is.
That's it.
They're a pure example. They're a pure example of what we need to be looking at really hard, Because Amen, that's God. Exactly what's coming here.
That's it. That's,
we need to lock arms in Christ.
Folks, I'm for the church. I'm not against it. I'm for the church. I'm for it. The
Bible but they're says being duped. We're being duped.
We're being duped. Evil men have crept in unaware and changed the truth of God into a lie, right? Churches do provide extensive economic. Are you listening? Are you listening? Churches do provide extensive economic benefits to their communities. Oh, yeah? University of Principal Sociologist Ram Kwan calls it a halo effect. Churches provide social services from counseling to child care and also spend money locally. In a study of 90 churches in three urban areas, Kwan found each house of worship contributed $1.2 million to $2.5 million to the local economy every year. So there it is. Churches are business. They're a business. The CARES Act was trying to pump money into the economy. Funding churches is one way to do that. But still, megachurch pastors who receive the funds understand why it's got controversy. No kidding. You ain't going to bite the hand that feeds you, are you? Pastor says, we're not a business, but we are an employer in the community. The loan really helped us to be able to make other decisions that allowed us to be that much more of a blessing to our community. Is the job of the church to be a blessing to the community? Really? That's it. Do you see where we've gone? Do you see what's going on? And do you see now when elected officials meet with pastors, this is the kind of bills they hear. They don't hear about righteousness. They don't hear that stuff. No. Serve, give. Huh? Oh, yeah. The community did great. It pumped a lot of money in there. Everybody kept working. It's really good. And now you're beholden to the government. Craig.
When the gentleman was talking about China, something just crossed my mind the other day. You know, China was the World Military Games were like a crowning jewel for China. And that was in October of 2019. Now you got 180 countries, right? And Bill Gates event 201, that was going on too. That was all in October, right? What a great way to disperse a virus, right? You have 183 countries, descend it amongst these healthy guys, let them take it back to the country, right? And that's why it showed up in cruise ships, right? Because it was during the Chinese New Year. So I heard this the other day and I was like, oh my, guess what's happening in France this summer? The Summer Olympics.
Oh, geez.
Wouldn't that be a great way to get a virus going? And then everybody flies home and about 6 weeks or 2 months later, yeah, pandemic.
Boy.
I hope not.
Should the government be on the side of Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab? Should the government be on that? No, I'm sorry. Should the church be on the same team as Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab and the economic forum, whatever? Should the church be on? Folks, they're in bed with them. They're in bed with them. Martin.
Thanks, Coach. Working here at the lumberyard, Coach Dave Live, I can tell you, you speaking of the money, all that money, Coach, that went to churches, big churches. I regularly see trucks and cars come into the lumberyard with K-Love stickers and Jesus fish and everything. And when they get out to get their products that they bought, I quiz them. And I am not kidding you, Coach. I've worked at this location for over 7 years and only two Christians with Jesus fishes or K-Love stickers on their truck have been able to accurately tell me how to form a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And even on Easter Sunday, Coach, I took it upon myself to go and talk to people. And obviously I was sharing Christ. You can see it on my hat. I would take my hat off and I walked around on the most holy day of the Christian year, Coach, when you would think that Christians would be on fire to get people into the kingdom. Not one person, Coach, shared the gospel with me. Not one. They had bellies full of ham, but not one of them cared about my cared about my soul. I just wanted to share that. Thanks.
We're not trained in that, man. We're not trained in that. Dale, come on in. Then
that's
Roger.
Correct.
Well, hallelujah, Coach. So we go from Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord provides, to Jehovah Joe. Government, Joe Biden provides, right? This
Donald
is right
Trump.
Because
Donald Trump did too.
I have no problem with the church, you know, that was part of the support of the community. But the problem is where are they getting it from? Normally, it used to be the church, the organism of the church itself used to help the people in the community, and it built a better community. When your reliance is on government, brother, you're like what Matt Truella says. We ain't nothing but the chickens being fed, right? For the purpose of the slaughterer. That's exactly what's going on.
Amen, bro. And we don't even realize what's going on, right? We don't even go on. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, you teach his commandments, the doctrines of men. Folks, that's government. That's government. What did the Pharisees and the Sadducees want the people to do? To follow them. They were the government. They made the rules. And Jesus said, dudes, they're supposed to be following the Lord, not all these rules. And what do we have today? The government comes in with tax dollars and buys the churches. No other way to say it. Roger.
I think what became also so dangerous in that whole thing was, and I think we all need to pause and write down how we were affected so we never forget. I remember watching my mother through the window at the nursing home and waving at her. But I think what happened is, you know, government came out strong trying to control the people. I think they had a little difficulty, but then they brought in business. And they brought in big business and said, we need your help. This is so dangerous. We can control the federal agencies and the military, but we need you to control the workplace. Then what happened, if we remember, you couldn't go to your private sector job unless you did it. To me, that was more dangerous than the role of the government, and that they could only control so much. But then they got in bed, or big business got in bed with government. Then you couldn't keep your job. If you worked for any large company, you couldn't keep your job, if we remember that, without getting the shot.
Right, right.
And that's something I remember the most about it. I agree with the church thing. Our church, I think, got $500,000 or $600,000, and to stay open.
Are they going to speak out against the government? Is your pastor going to stand?
Well, I don't get a shot? No, and I don't know what their application was, but we need to all remember and write down a little bit of what this scenario looked like. Parking in the parking lot to hear the gospel, you know, sit 6 feet away from each other and all this, you know, and now think about what we know about now, how wrong everybody was. Yeah. Now, remember, people were getting killed because of going intubated and that other ice, whatever that other drug they gave. That's what was killing them. We need to remember these things. Yeah, we need to remember that.
Yeah, we do. We do. Right. And what do we have, folks? See, how long have they told us there's a separation between the church and state, and then the government comes in and swallows up the church? Right? Why? Because people who stand up against the government end up in trouble. By the way, Jesus led that revolt, did he not? Isn't that what happened to him? Didn't Jesus get in trouble for questioning the government? Wait, folks, don't miss it. Not the Romans. He didn't challenge the Romans. He challenged the church. Jesus said, you teach his commandments, the doctrines of men. You guys, you money-grubbing scoundrels, you're putting weights and burdens on women. They can't keep it up. And you sit up in your high house and, oh, yeah, now you're receiving money from the government? Jesus went to the government, the church, and called him out, and went to the government and they killed him. Nothing new under the sun. Jack.
The government doesn't have any money. There's nothing in the treasury. So where'd that come from? Not tax dollars. They borrowed it and then gave it away. And now we're paying China interest on it. Come on.
And our children will suffer. A wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Well, obviously, we're not wise men. We've left an inheritance, all right. Here's the debt. Here's the bill. Here's this anti-Christian world. Here, that's what we left to you. Well, why? Because we weren't wise. Jeff.
Well, here's a lesson we learned many years ago. You know how a lot of these churches, they'll get all this food to give away, and it all comes from the government. They fund them churches, put all that crap in their little back room.
Yep.
And then they can't share the gospel. You remember years ago, our old buddy, Pastor Art Wilhite, the bread man. That boy, I remember him telling me, he said, no, we don't, I don't take no government money handouts. He'd go into that Kroger store, and just a little bit about him. And every week he'd load 10 to 12 box truck loads of bread. His fingers were so curled up and crinkled up from arthritis. I mean, he worked his butt off. He would bring me a truckload or two of bread up to that car lot. Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, we would 10 to 12, we'd run 400 people through that car lot. That one time he brought me three box trucks full of bread, donuts, cakes, pies, three bays full, the whole garage. It was $75,000 worth of free bread and donuts. It was such a blast. But another question I had this morning is, whatever happened to Pastor Art? Is he still around? Or
I haven't spoken to him in a long time.
Yeah.
Here's what I take away from it. You get a box load of truck of food and you want to hand it out, you can get all kinds of volunteers. You get a bunch of people at a school board meeting because they're cutting off ding-dongs of boys. You won't get anybody to show up.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to check it out and see if Pastor Art's still over there.
I'm sure he's still. Well, I know he's not doing the bread ministry the way that he used to. He's older. He's old. Hell, he's 80-some years old probably.
Yeah, last I heard he's only getting one truckload a week, half truckload.
They'll make you get a food handler's license.
I'm just telling you, Jack, it is absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable. And look right here, they bought us off. They bought us off. I circle back to 911. Should, I guess. Back to January 6th. And they locked up the leaders, folks. They locked up the strong voices in the church that were saying we've had enough because the pastors were taking money from the government. They weren't going to go. And the pastors aren't going to stand up and fight to get those guys out of jail because they've been bought off. They're not going to bite the hand that fed them. That's the true meaning of the separation between the church and state, is that the government has no power over the church. None. None. And can I tell you this one? If you are a member of the body of Christ, a real member of the body of Christ, and there's separation between the church and state, the government has no right to not $1 of your money. Not one. If there's a separation, see, there is only a separation between the church and state when the government wants that separation. There's no way that you can stand in a church door and say to the government, you can't come in here. Sorry, you can't come in there. Oh, yeah, they will. They'll bring in tanks. You ever heard of Waco? Ever heard of that? Oh, yeah. The government doesn't respect the separation between the church and the state. It's the government above the state. I'm sorry. It's the government above the church. There's no separation between the two. The government's on top of the church. And the church comes and says, Mr. Government, can we have some money, please? Please, can we have some money? Can we have a tax write-off, please, Mr. Government? I thought there was a separation between the church and state. Well, if there's a separation between the church and state, then the government has no right to not $1. I'm a church. Keith.
You're describing a narrowing of the path.
Narrow path. That's what it is. Broad is the way, narrow is the gate. Many come, few find it. Yep, very few find it. R.L. Randy, come in. R.L. Dale.
Well, yeah, Coach, you know, you were sharing there a little bit ago, you know, how it is, you know, the Lord that we would leave an inheritance for our children and our children's children. Uh-huh. Have you seen our debt? Look what we're leaving, the inheritance. This is the inheritance we're leaving to our children, our children's children, their children, and the children to come after that.
In clear violation of the scriptures, Dale. And clear, because the pastors will stand in the pulpit and tell you that you have an obligation to pay taxes to tyrannical Luciferian government. It's unbelievable.
And you become a slave to those you're indebted to.
Yep. Amen. The government's Lucifer, and you pay more money to Lucifer than you do your church. Now, R.L., let's try it again, bud.
Sorry, I made a mistake, Coach.
There you are, bud. Did you want to come in?
No, I made a mistake.
All right, buddy. Quit making those mistakes. Coach Dave yells at everybody. So, folks, we find ourselves in a dilemma. And if we'll just understand this, okay? Just understand this. Be very, 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 very discerning by those who say they're Christians. Friends, they're not. Jesus said, broad is the way, narrow is the gate. Many come, few find it. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but rather he that does the will of my Father. Now ask yourself this question. What is the will of your Father? Now hang on. Not just the following of rules and regulation. What's his will? What's the will of the Father? It is the will of the Father, the things that we quietly are against but don't do anything about? Is it the will of the Father that a little boy would have his appendages cut off? Is it the will of the Father that a little child would be taught evolution? Is it the will of a father that a little boy could be taught that it doesn't matter if you have sex before marriage? Is it the will of the Father? Well, if it's the will of the Father, why don't we do the things he asks us to do? Why don't we stand up and represent him on these things that really matter? Rather than doing what the government's told us to do through infiltration. Don't judge, be kind, pay your taxes, keep your mouth shut, right? That's where we are. So, folks, the world and the church are in conflict. Always have been. They're in conflict. And the purpose of the church is to subdue. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us trespasses as we forgive those. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the will of the Father. Not to follow the government, pay taxes, wear a mask, social distance. Trent.
Coach, so good. No. Okay. You're either a Christian or you are not a Christian.
In no middle way.
Yeah, this applies to the Christians. You are the